I just want to open this morning just with a short story. This morning's theme, as it seems, is on the seed. Seeds being planted. Now, we've planted as individuals throughout our lives many, many seeds, good and not so good. But there's one thing that is guaranteed when you plant a seed. Can anyone tell me what that is? Something's going to happen. And it will grow. And that is ultimately the heartbeat of God for you and for me. He wants us to grow. And the parable that we will share shortly, just briefly this morning, is teaching matters of the heart. The heart that seed is falling upon. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But before I do, I'm going to share a short story just to loosen things up this morning. There was a farmer and he needed some crops planted. So he got his apprentice out there on the tractor to plow up the ground and get it ready. And the last step after, you know, pouring in nutrients and fertilizers and everything, the last step before planting, if you're a farmer, is to trench everything, in our day and age, that is. And he gets the tractor in this last step to provide and make a trench in each row to create rows so that the seed can then be planted in those trenches and then covered over. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Does that sound right? Do you think I could run a farm? I don't think so. But the point is, he gets his apprentice to run this first row, and he's an apprentice. He's new to the business. And he's a little bit shaky on the tractor, and he says, "Oh, you know, what if I don't get them straight?" And he says to him, the supervisor says to him, "Just follow landmarks. For example, there's a black stump straight ahead in front of this tractor right now. Follow that black stump all the way for the 300 or 400 meter row." He said, "Okay, well, that can't be too hard." It wasn't a tractor with any satellite navigation, as we have these days. And he starts his way off, and the supervisor's over getting other things organized, and then he comes back and just checks on how he's going with that row. And he gets to the start of the row, and he says, "It started off all right, but there's this big curve in it. That's not going to be any good to us. We need to plant in straight rows. It's not going to be productive for the land and the quantity that we can get into our land." And he runs up and just says to the apprentice, stop. It's not straight." He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Follow the black stump." The apprentice says, "I followed the black stump, but as I got closer, I looked and I seen it was a black cow." Most of you got it, I think. Okay, so it was a black cow. You got it? It's sunk in? Okay, well, that's good, right? But I really don't care if that doesn't sink in. The Word of God needs to sink in this morning. We need to follow God's landmark, and His landmark is His Word. His landmark is His Word is Jesus. Amen. And He planted a seed into this world for you and for me. He planted a seed that will continue to grow and continue to cause us to grow. And that seed is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him. The message of the cross of Calvary to come in and plant that seed in our hearts so that when we receive that seed grows into a flourishing plant that will produce fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, just like the passage says this morning. Now, that's the good soil. That's the good soil promise. But what I want you to do this morning, and what I challenge you, and I challenge myself this morning, is to look deep in the reaches of our hearts. Look in the uttermost parts of our hearts and just say, "Is my heart good soil? Is my heart good soil? Is it capable of having a seed or many seeds of the kingdom planted and continuing to grow and flourish and to overflow?" Have you seen that movie Jumanji, the original one where I think there's a plant that just grows right through the house from vague memory? But when something is planted, it just grows. When Jesus is planted in our hearts into good soil, He just grows, and out of that overflow, the people around us, our church, the community, is touched for the goodness of God, and God is bringing growth through that. However, there is three types of ground in that passage that we've talked about this morning that will not produce that. The first seed planted, because back then, I just want to explain something, that trench story I just said, that's how we plant crops today. We plant it in tracks, in rows, and then we go. Because I remember, I'm going to stand back and show you what I used to do. I used to just drop bean seed in that trench when I planted beans, and just scatter them and just let them go. And then I would turn around after I'd done that row, and I'd literally go like this with the dirt to cover the seed. And then I'd just watch them grow. And that was the process. But back then, in the times when Jesus is doing and sharing this parable, they scattered seed. There was no preparation like that, but they scattered the seed. So some fell by the wayside or off the path. And that is a representation of the seed that Satan just comes to, what's he come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. It says the birds of the air came and devoured it. Satan is a devourer. Satan just comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his agenda. That is his agenda. And in a heart that just lets it fall off the wayside, just, oh yeah, what'll be will be, I don't really care about this stuff anyway, it's being stolen. The seed's attempted to be planted, but it doesn't take root, it doesn't plant. The next ground was the rocky ground. The rocky ground, again, back then when they were, you know, sowing their seeds, some fell on the rocky ground. And it would take root to a certain extent, but it didn't take depth of root. And that was an example of a type of heart that would come and hear the word of God, would acknowledge and say the amen, hallelujah, brother, thank you. Receive it with gladness. Have you ever said amen or hallelujah, brother, or preach it, brother, to a preacher before? Well, you can try saying it to me. Preach it, brother. But don't say it if you're going to go out and it's just going to fall by the wayside, it's going to fall. And then when persecution comes, when tribulation for the word's sake comes against you, when persecution from other people comes against you, and then you just melt like wax and you say, this isn't for me. You've been there? You know people have been there? So we see the hearts, the types of ground, which is a representation of the heart, because ultimately the farmer is God. We are vessels at his disposal to plant the seeds as well. But the farmer is God. The seed is the word of God, and the land that it's planted on is our heart. That's the explanation of this. And when we're looking at those first two by the wayside, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, the stony ground. When persecution comes, I've heard the word, I know what to do, but I can't handle it. I can't take the heat. I can't stand up. My faith is weak. But how does faith come? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God, by hearing those seeds that come and are planted in the heart of anyone who will receive. Are you a people in here this morning who is willing and able to receive of the word of God? But not just receive it, but then just to go and live it. James talks about being doers of the word, not just hearers. You know, it's very easy to come into church on a Sunday and just hear, oh, gee, that was a good message. That was great. Or it's very easy just to read your Bible before you go out to work that day. Oh, that was a really good word. But then suddenly, have you ever had it happen that the challenge of what was preached or what you've read has just happened to you in life and you've are left there with a choice? Am I going to do what the Word of God says to do in this? Or am I just going to do my flesh stuff? Am I just going to have a fit of carnality and just do my carnal thing? Amen. And don't be worried, like, being carnal is exactly the natural thing for all of us to do. And but for the grace of God, but for the Holy Spirit, but for that willingness to have that depth of relationship with Jesus, you will fall into carnality. You will suffer under persecution and melt. You'll melt like wax. It is the Holy Spirit, the Word of God living deep within your heart, the faith of God in your heart that will get you through those troubled times and to bring you back out on top. And we're slowly working towards that good soil. That's the place where that's a characteristic of the heart that is good soil. And it's not that we are good, but we have made the decision to say that, Lord Jesus, no matter what happens, come hell or high water, come what may, I am going to serve you in anything and in everything. But I can't do it, Lord. That's just words. But I know you can do that through me. Amen. You can't do anything of yourself, but you can surrender. You can surrender to him and say, Lord, I am weak, you are strong. I am unable, but I want to just rest in your abilities so that you can bring me from this place of this destitute place, this low place, and you can set me in a high place. I'm not talking about pride, but in a high place in Christ. Because when he sets you in the place he wants you, and that all comes from good soil, from a good heart, receiving of what he has for you, when he does it, that settles it. You're there. And you can just enjoy a tiptoe through the tulips and roses every day. Nah. You know about that, Dan and Beck? Tiptoe through the tulips in Indonesia every day? No, it's not. God has challenges upon us. And when that persecution comes, unlike the heart that has this stony ground that can't handle persecution, can't handle the negativity, when that comes, if you replace that heart with the good soil, the heart that is devoted to God, trusts God at his word, and believes by faith that he can do all things, and we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength to do so, then you can step into that place, and persecution can come. Tribulation can come, challenges can come, sickness can come, whatever the enemy wants to throw at us, whatever we inflict on our own selves because of our stupid actions, whatever the case is, God will be your deliverer. Amen. He will bring you out. He will put you on that high place. So that's the two so far. But this third one, this third heart, this third type of soil or ground is, I believe, the most dangerous and the most prominent in the church and in this world. And that is when the seed is planted among the thorns and the weeds. Now, weeds and thorns and all of that inhibit, they prevent the growth, don't they? So when I had the farm, I didn't own the farm, my dad owned the farm, but he allowed me to farm on the farm, for a little while, just as a bit of fun and a bit of sideline money, we planted, it was a patch of beans. And I actually shared this in our old church, and Harry might remember this. And I don't know if you know what a castor oil plant is. Who said horrible? Yeah, they are horrible, very horrible. They got these spiky little fruit things that they grow. And I seen them coming up in the midst of my beans, just in one patch. Like we had, 10 acres of ground, but just in 10 rows, they were just attacking those 10 rows. The rest was clear. They started coming up and I didn't think much of them. I pulled a few out and then I left it. And I said, oh, just leave them. They're not going to be too. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't probably all of a sudden, it was 2 weeks later, but these things are higher than the beans. They've got spiky fruit all over them. And ultimately, I made the decision then, and this is another parable which I'm not going to touch on today, of pulling them out. And sometimes when I was pulling them out, guess what happened? I was pulling some of the beans out. But ultimately, I cleaned that paddock up, and it took me 2 full days to clean that up. And I thought, well, hope beans are going to be good money this year. and they weren't, by the way. But I pulled them all out. But then when that crop actually come to its harvest time, how do you reckon it went? Not very good. The beans weren't good. The crop wasn't abundant. It was the worst crop that it ever had. And I spent all that time trying to save it. I spent that time trying to save it, but I couldn't. It didn't produce. The other crops around it did. But the one that was overcome by weeds, the one that all the nutrients that those weeds took away from the plant that really needed it, it ruined the crop. And I just wanted to share that story as an example, is that when we allow weeds, you know, you might see them, oh, it's just a little weed. You know, it's just what sin is. It's just a little weed, just a little thing. But you know what? Just as God wants us to grow in our faith, Satan wants us to grow in our sin. And our flesh wants to grow in sin. Our flesh desires all that. And this third type of ground is a picture in our real world as we know it, of the things of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. All of the things that the world has to offer us. Our minds being set on things on the earth, not on things above. In heaven, in our hearts. God wants to be in our hearts. He wants our whole heart, not just some of our heart. Have you ever tried to give God just some of your heart and then keep the rest for yourself? You're so holy. I'm the only one with my hand up. I've tried to keep back from God. I've been like Cain, just trying to, you know, I'll give you, oh, no, let's take this back. I just want my little bit. And that's a heart that is self-centered. It's a heart that is tied up and focused on the things that this world has to offer. But you know what? We are sojourners. We are just not, we're in this world, but we're not of the world. And when we say that, we think, well, yeah, we're Christians and all that. But isn't it funny, when the world offers us stuff, we're pretty much there ready to take it, aren't we? When the enemy comes and presents an opportunity to sin, and the pleasures of all of the that this world can offer, we're pretty quick there to take it. But we should take a lesson from the notebook of Jesus. When the enemy offered him to sin, when he offered him everything, what was Jesus' response? Very good. Very good. It is written. It is written that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but should have everlasting life. It is written that no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me now. And if Christ lives in me, the life I now live, I'm going to live to bring him glory every day. I'm going to surrender all that I am to him, because he deserves all that I am. Because I am nothing without him. Amen. I just want you to, I'm keeping this message very short but sharp this morning. I believe it'll penetrate your hearts and your lives, and you'll go out changed this morning. So I will ask Joy to come back. But I just want to share with you the purpose of a farmer. What is his ultimate purpose when he plants a crop? To produce, to make something happen, to make something, as it were, out of nothing. You know, have you ever had a veggie garden and you've grown maybe the previous year tomatoes or something, or whatever it might be, and then you've replanted in that veggie garden the next year, but you've planted zucchinis where the tomatoes were last year, and all of a sudden there's a tomato plant coming up? Have you ever had that happen? Yeah. I look at that as free tomatoes. I didn't have to buy any seed. They're probably not as brilliant as, you know, the original, you know, the hybrid seeds and all of those things, but hey, they were tomatoes and they cropped really well. So wherever seed is, it's going to grow. And ultimately, if I can leave you with something this morning that will be more beneficial than anything I've said up until now, is that you need to know in your heart that God wants you to grow in your faith. And how he gets you to do that is, sometimes there'll be challenges. Sometimes there'll be things that will come across your path that you will have to face. And you're going to be left with a crossroads. You're going to be left with a choice. Am I going to submit to this? What sort of ground is my heart right now? Because ultimately, to say that you've got good ground all the time is a lie. Amen? Sometimes the world gets in. We go through times of tribulation and we don't handle it. We go through times of temptation and we just fall away. We apostatize, as it were, for a time. Not permanently, but for a time. But God's ultimate will and his purpose, in whatever state your heart is right now, he is ready to come and bring a clean heart into your life. You remember King David, when the prophet Nathan came to him, he wrote Psalm 51. What was one of the things that really, in relation to the heart, that he said in that psalm? Create in me a clean heart. Create in me good ground, Lord, that you could come and sow whatever seed you want to sow, and it's going to grow to your glory. And then out of that overflow, I'm going to go and touch other people, because I'm going to be so on fire for God, because I've got plants of God growing vigorously in my heart, and the overflow of that's going to touch lives. Most of all, out there in the world, to win sinners back to Jesus. Because you know what? I don't want to be rude to you this morning, but I'm not worried about you guys. God's not even that worried about any of us as such for our salvation, because you know why? We're already recipients. Yes, we need to continue to grow. But God's worried about the lost souls, the ones who are out there ready to shoot up another needle this morning. The prostitutes, the people out there who are just lost in the world, doing their own thing, rebelling. That is our calling, and that's where the seeds can be planted. And when we're looking at that, Paul said that God brings the increase. You know, if you ever planted the seed of salvation into a heart of someone and said, you know, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have you ever done that? You ever had that privilege and that opportunity with someone? We all have, I'm sure. And when you have that opportunity, you've planted a seed, and you might go away from there with rejection. They may have said, no, not interested in that stuff. But you've planted the seed. And this is the Apollos Paul God process, I call it. And you know what I'm talking about, is that we plant the seed. Someone comes and waters it, another vessel of God, an obedient vessel who's wanting the will of God fulfilled as well. So don't put it all on your own shoulders. Actually, don't put anything on your shoulders. Put it all on God's shoulders, because at the very end of that, it says, God brings the increase. Amen. In Genesis chapter, I think it's chapter 2, I have to check that. Don't quote me on this, but I know what it says. And it says, while the earth remains, there will be seed, time and harvest. Seed time being one word, but sometimes you can play around with that a bit. Will you let me play around with that just a little bit? Seed, time, harvest. In that scripture that the guy shared, I can't remember the reference of that one this morning either, John chapter 9, 8. Anyway, it said that there's 4 months between for growth on that scripture. Some, you know, you take a look at vegetables and that, beans might take 8 weeks, radish take 4 weeks, you know, zucchinis take 6 or 7 weeks, whatever, they're all different. But there's time. There's a planting, there's time, and then there's a harvest. And in verses 26 to 29 of the passage that was read this morning, it says the farmer goes and plants, he lives his life, but soon as he sees that the harvest is ripe, soon as he sees that it's ready, what does he do? He reaps. We live in a life, in a world that there is a spiritual law, and that spiritual law is sowing and reaping. If you're sowing into God's kingdom, you're going to reap what God's kingdom has to offer. If you're sowing into the world, you're going to reap with what the world has to offer. The choice is laid before us today. We give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks. And we know, Lord Jesus, that as we worship you and sing this next song, Lord, I thank you that the hearts in this house, Father God, that if there's been hearts that have been stony hearts, Lord Jesus, not receiving of the word, not taking root, going through the motions of Christianity, if there's hearts that just let it fall off to the wayside in here this morning, Lord Jesus, if there's been attitudes of the heart in that respect, Lord, we just pray for these people. And Lord Jesus, also the ones that are allowing the world to be a greater influence than Jesus. I thank you for those three pieces of ground, those three types of hearts, Father God, this morning, that their hearts, that those hearts won't grow, those lives won't grow in the Lord. So Lord, our prayer this morning, we humbly request and we make that decision and surrender to you, Lord, saying, Lord, create in us a clean heart. Allow our hearts to be that good soil, that when your seeds are planted in our hearts, Lord, that they will grow, they will produce fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And we know, Lord Jesus, out of that 30, 60, and 100-fold means that there'll be many other people around us who don't know Jesus right now as we speak, that they will know Jesus. We want to be in a higher place this time next year than we are now, Father God. We want every one of these blue seats in this church and in other churches and in every church that is preaching Jesus. We want every seat filled, not for any other reason except to bring glory to you, Lord. So we give you thanks. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.